And now the game where we reward a lifetime of achievement with a few moments of confusion. The game's called Not My Job. Gary Hart was a senator from Colorado for 8 years and came very close to being the Democratic nominee for president 2 times in 1984 and 1988. Since then, he's written many books, he's served on various commissions, and in his spare time, just because he felt like it, he earned a PhD from Oxford. He joins us from his home in Colorado. Senator Hart, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Actually, I was in the Senate 12 years, but that doesn't matter.
You know why you were in the Senate for 12 years? Because each term is 6 years. I forgot that.
Wait, wait, don't tell me.
Exactly. I'm sorry. So what you been up to since then, Senator Hart?
Well, you mentioned the book writing. I was with an international law firm for 15 years, and I've just accepted an endowed professorship at the University of Colorado.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
What are you going to be teaching?
I can hardly wait to hear.
You don't know?
I'll think of something by the fall.
Yeah.
Mostly security and foreign policy issues.
My advice to you, and I've done some teaching, is just make sure you stay one chapter ahead in the textbook. They'll never know.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Peter hasn't gotten the chapter on length of Senate terms yet. But
yes. I wanted to talk to you. You've become, in some ways, sort of one of the wise old men. You know,
thanks a lot.
Well, you know, emphasis on the wise. It's
Couldn't
a figure
you have just
of
said wise men.
It's one of the wise men. Fine. It's a figure of speech. It's you've been in the arena. Now you're retired from it. So I wanted to ask you because you've been involved in politics since you were a young man. What advice would you have for your party right now? Because it does seem that they just can't seem to get anything going. Most recently, the Alito filibuster, they got completely outplayed in that whole thing. I mean, it's been a while since they've been able to claim a victory. What advice would you give them?
Well, first of all, I'll promote a book that will come out in May called The Courage of Our Convictions. The Democratic Party has to recover both its convictions and its courage.
No, that's not going to work. What else you got? No, I'm sorry. Go on, please.
Raise a lot of money and use smoke and mirrors.
Well, yeah, now
there
we're talking.
There we go.
Right, I mean, you were joking about this, but one of the things I sometimes hear from Democrats is they're like, why can't we have a Karl Rove? Where is our evil genius?
And, yeah. We have quite a few evil geniuses. None of them is dominant, unfortunately. No, I don't think we need a Karl Rove. I think we need courage and conviction, as I've said. And further, just to make a point, the Republican Party is a corporate party. That is to say, most Republicans believe the same thing. The Democratic Party, since Roosevelt, has been a coalition party. We have women, we have environmentalists, we have racial minorities, whole variety of other people, and forming a consensus among that coalition party is not easy.
So do you have any solution for that?
Yes, we ought to nominate Franklin Roosevelt.
Yeah.
We just can't find him as a problem.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you about, I did not know this about you, is that you more or less invented the Iowa caucuses as an important political ritual.
Yeah, in the McGovern days, back in 70, 71, we were faced with facing Ed Muskie for the nomination.
And I want to say that you were the campaign manager.
I was working for George McGovern, a pretty young guy at the time. And we were faced with the prospect of running against Ed Muskie in the New Hampshire primary, and he was from Maine and very well thought of. And so some of us got together and started searching for an earlier political test, and we found out Iowa held caucuses before the New Hampshire primary. So we went out there and campaigned, and McGovern came in very well in the Iowa caucuses, and it set him up to run second, I think, in New Hampshire, and then go on to win the nomination.
So, of course, it became a tradition, and now politicians have to start showing up in Iowa 2 years before the election.
Yeah, and I've always thought that the state of Iowa owed me some money or something.
Has any politician come up to you, just filled to the eyeballs with creamed pork chops, and just given you a long, mean look for that?
Oh, yes. And the Secret Service, too.
Oh, yeah.
It gets very cold in Iowa in January.
I bet it does. Well, Senator Hart, we're delighted to have you with us. We've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
The Only Man Too Corrupt for Hollywood.
We're talking, of course, about Jack Abramoff, the corrupt and now convicted Uber lobbyist. But before he began his career greasing palms in Washington, he had a brief stint as a Hollywood producer. We're going to ask you three questions about Jack Abramoff Mogul. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice in their home answering machine. So, Corva, who is Senator Gary Hart playing for?
Mr. Hart is playing for Abe Hernandez of Evanston, Illinois.
Or Mr. Hernandez.
That's possible. All right. Ready to play?
Right.
Here's your first question. What was Mr. Abramoff's big Hollywood project? Was it A, The Body Politic, an erotic thriller starring sexpot Shannon Tweed as a bright, ambitious, and yes, very sexy Republican congresswoman? Was it B, Red Scorpion, an action pick in which Dolph Lundgren battles communist Cubans in Angola? Or was it C, The Mind Eater, a sci-fi story in which Detective Jan Michael Vincent finds out that liberals are being controlled by evil aliens?
Could I say all three? No. B.
B, Red Scorpion. Yes, you're right. Very good.
Peter, I presume this was after Dolph's big breakthrough in the Rocky movie?
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay.
We followed up. This is the 1989 movie Red Scorpion. Dolph Lundgren goes to Angola to kill a character based on the real-life Joseph Savimbi, but becomes a convert to his cause and ends up killing a lot of evil Cuban communists. Okay, very well done. Done with confidence. Here's your next question. Mr. Abramoff, in A Strange Omen, got into trouble halfway through production and lost his deal with Warner Brothers. What happened? A. They objected to Mr. Abramoff spending $3 million of their money on, quote, producers' floral arrangements, unquote. B, it turns out that all those military extras, they were active duty members of the apartheid-era South African army. Or C, as a part of a deal he made with Philip Morris, Mr. Lundgren not only smoked on screen, but said, there's really no link between these and lung cancer, you know.
I'm going to guess B again.
Yes, the South African army?
Yes.
You're right. That's exactly what happened.
I didn't know they hired out.
Well, apparently... You see, it turns out, Mr. Abramoff, interesting career, his first job out of college was working for a propaganda outfit that was secretly set up by the pariah South African government. And
really?
Through his friends in South Africa, he decided he'd like to film a movie there, and they were glad to help him out. What can I tell you? All right, last question. Let's see if you can get this one. The movie was finally released. Which of these was part of an actual New York Times review of the movie Red Scorpion? A, even Joe McCarthy himself, were he alive and sober, would find himself rooting for the commie bad guys. B, so cartoonish it makes a Bugs Bunny short look like a Cassavetes film. Or C, the movie's reflective moments belong to Mr. Lundgren's sweaty chest.
Well, it's either A or C, and I'm going to guess A.
You're going to guess A, even Joe McCarthy himself?
Yep.
No, it was the sweaty chest. Sad to say. The Washington Post, in their review, said of Lundgren's performance, quote, watching him think hard is a painful experience.
That's good.
Isn't it, though? Corva, how did the senator do in our quiz?
Well, Senator Hart got 2 out of 3 correct, Peter, which means he wins the prize for Abe Hernandez of Evanston, Illinois. Carl Castle's voice on his answering machine.
Congratulations. Senator Gary Hart is the former senator from Colorado. He served 12 years. He is the author of numerous books, the most recent of which is God and Caesar and America, an essay in religion and politics. It's in your bookstore now. Senator Hart, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
They're gonna put me in the movies. They're gonna make a big star out of me. We'll make a film about a man that's sad.